Well, let's go on to our second question this evening, and we'll see if we can answer another one. The question is this: what is the difference between a Baptist church and a Church of Christ? And that's a very good question, and I'm very thankful for that question. But before we're going to be able to answer this question, we need to address a few preliminary matters first. First of all, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 16 and verses 18 and 19, if you would. Matthew chapter 16 and verses 18 and 19. In these passages, we find Peter and the rest of the apostles and Jesus talking, and Jesus was asking them, well, who do men say the Son of Man is? And Peter responded, or the disciples responded, some say you're Elijah, some John the Baptist, or one of the prophets. And then Jesus looks at them and says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And then he said this, and I say unto you, that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now I want you to notice a couple of things before we start to answer this question. Jesus says, first of all, I will build my church. He never said, I will build my churches, that is plural, as if there were going to be a whole bunch of different churches that belonged to him. He said, I will build my church, singular. And so he had it in mind that there was always going to be one church. And that was what Jesus had planned all along, as we see from this particular passage. Because when he says, I will build, what he is saying is that in the future, based upon a plan, I'm going to build something. And that something is going to be the church. And I'm planning to build it right now. And so Jesus' plans only included one church. And that's something we need to recognize. Now, also, we learn from Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23 that the church is the body of Christ. Paul writes that he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So Jesus said, I will build my church. Paul says the church is the body of Christ, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So you don't get more full than the church as the body of Christ. It's everything that he wants. Anything more than that is more than what he wants. Anything less than that is less than what he wants. Because he said that the body of Christ, the church, is the fullness of him that fills all in all. And so, as we're thinking about this, we note Jesus said, I will build one church. We note that the church is the body of Christ. But then let's also note, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 says that each one of us that are Christians are members of that body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So the body has many members. And is Paul or talking about different denominations when he talks about different members? No, he's talking about individual Christians. Because look at what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. He says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. You are the body. And each one of you individually is a member of that body. And so there's only one church. It's composed of many members, that is, individual Christians. The church is the same as the body of Christ. And then note also this, that there are also congregations which are part of the church that belongs to Christ. There are congregations. And these are referred to as churches of Christ in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, where Paul says, salute one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ salute you. They say hello to you. They greet you. And that's the idea there, is that there is only one church, and that is the church that Jesus built. There is also members of that church. That's individual Christians. And there are congregations. So there's the church at Ephesus. There's the church at Corinth. There's the church at Philippi. There's the church at Rome. There's the church at Jerusalem. Those are congregations. But they all belong to the one church that Jesus said He was going to build, which is His body. Now, let's turn over, and we've established a few things here. And so we have these things in mind. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 10 through 13. And read some other things relative to the idea of having many different churches within the one church that Jesus built, which is a popular conception today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 10 through 13. Paul writes this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Christ." Now here's the question that Paul asks. Is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And so in these verses, what Paul is getting at is this, that the church at Corinth has said, we're going to split into factions. Some of us are going to follow Peter, some of us are going to follow Paul, and some of us are going to follow Apollos, and some of us are going to follow Christ, but we're going to say that, we're going to split into these factions, and we're going to all follow different people, but, we're going to say we're all part of the one big body, you know. Well, Paul says, no, that's not right. That's that kind of thinking is divisive, and that kind of thinking is wrong. And that's the kind of thinking that Christ doesn't want us to do. He all wants us to be part of His one body. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 3 through 7. So, as we think about this then, Paul is saying this division that is based upon men like Paul and Cephas and Apollos, that kind of division shouldn't happen. Paul wasn't baptized for you. Christ isn't divided so that you can separate Him up and do different things with different people like that. You weren't baptized in the name of Paul. Certainly not. Paul wasn't crucified for you. And so he's condemning this mindset that would divide the church of Christ, the one big church that Jesus said He would build, that would divide that into all these different bodies, all these different assemblies of different beliefs, headed by different people, doing different things. He's saying, no, that's not the way to do it. We're not supposed to exist like that as Christians. We're just supposed to exist as people in one body, which is the Lord's body, the church. And so, but this is exactly what happens when you look at Reformation history. You have people who went after John and Charles Wesley, and eventually, as a result of that, the Methodist Church was established. You have people who went after John Calvin, and as a result of that, you have the Presbyterian Church established. You have people who went after Martin Luther, and as a result of that, the Lutheran Church was established. And all these different bodies were established that shouldn't have been established at all. And why were they established? Because people didn't pay attention to what the Bible taught. They didn't pay attention to the fact that Jesus said there is just one church. They didn't pay attention to the fact that Paul told them that they were not supposed to be divided. But they did it anyway. And now we have all these various different denominational bodies that exist in the world today. And that includes, of course, the Baptist, as the questioner had mentioned in his question, or her question. And so, what are we supposed to do about all this then? Well, we want to get back to what Christ teaches, and we want to get back to what the Bible teaches, and we want to get away from what men say and what men teach. So if we're going to go back to what the Bible teaches, then we just need to do what the Bible says about this. And as far as I can tell, what the Bible says about this is just be the church. Just be Christ's body. Just be members of that body. Have a congregation. Go by the name that's called in the New Testament, which is the churches of Christ. just have that kind of situation where it's just what the Bible says. And churches of Christ in that regard then are not a part of a denominational situation. And we're non-denominational in the sense that we are not a denomination. We just want to be part of that one body, which is the church. The denominations say, oh, we're all part of the one body, which is the church, but then each one of us has our denomination. But where is that in Scripture? Well, let's just get rid of the denominations and just be one body in Christ. Let's do it that way. And that's the Bible way. And so, simply trying to be what Jesus revealed within His Word, that's what we're trying to do. We simply can't do that and be members of the denominations at the same time. And so we've got to remove ourselves from that kind of thinking and that mentality and just focus upon Jesus, His will, His Word, His apostles, His teaching, His church, His organization, and everything that He has done. That's what we're seeking to do. That's what we're trying to do. Now, beyond this, and I believe this kind of addresses a fundamental aspect of the question, because the question is, what is the difference between a Baptist church and the Church of Christ? And first of all, the biggest difference is that we're not trying to be a denomination. And I think that's the biggest difference that we can illustrate between the two. And we don't want to be a denomination. We just want to be part of the body of Christ. Beyond this, I think the questioner has in mind other things that are closer to the surface on appearance of things between what he or she may see in the Baptist church versus what he or she may see within the churches of Christ. And one obvious thing is that we don't use instruments of music, and we could talk about that. I'd love to answer a question on that. Why don't we use instruments of music? I'm not going to do that tonight because that wasn't what the question was, but that's certainly something we could talk about. Another question, another difference, that is that we practice baptism for the remission of sins, whereas most Baptist churches, from what I understand, believe in salvation by faith only. And so we don't believe in salvation by faith only, but we do believe in salvation by faith, but faith that is a working faith and a faith that is going to obey the gospel of Christ. And so there are some other differences as well, but these are the major ones. Now, I do want to emphasize something additional to this, and that is that when you start comparing religious bodies one to another, you're really not doing what the Lord wants you to do, because we're comparing men to men. And that's something we need to avoid. We don't want to compare men to men, because men are wrong and men are faulty and men make mistakes. But rather, let's compare ourselves to the Lord, Jesus, and see what He has to say, and so that we can hold ourselves up to the higher standard that is Christ. Christ has called us to be members of His body. And the only comparison that we need to be making then is between us and Christ, and Christ's design for His church. To compare ourselves to other religious bodies is not to compare ourselves to Christ, and that is not what we should be doing. When we start doing things like that, we're going to come up short on many things, and we're going to think that, oh, we have a choice, you see. We can choose Baptist, or we can choose Methodist, or we can choose Presbyterian, or whatever, or we can choose the Church of Christ. They're just one of many choices that are available to us. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Christ said, I will build my church, and that He wants you to be part of His church, not part of some man-made church, not part of some church that was came about during the Reformation. No, that's not what He wants. And so we're calling people out of that and just calling them to be what the Bible tells us to be, as God tells us to be, as Christ teaches us to be. And so I know of no other way to do it. You know, if we were to compare ourselves to churches that men have built, I know of a church down in Houston that has a McDonald's inside their facility and another one that has a Starbucks. Well, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? You know, as men's churches go, I mean, we could have a McDonald's over here and a Starbucks over here, and you know, we could get our Happy Meals and we could get our caffeine fix all at the same time. Well, that's of course nothing in the Word of God, and thankfully, I don't have to compare myself to that. You see, All I do is have to compare myself to Christ. And Christ has such wonderful standards and such wonderful expectations for me. He calls me back to who I need to be originally as God's child. And that's really all that is involved in it. But when we started comparing ourselves to all the different churches out there like that, we would lose sight of what we really need to do, which is just learn about Christ. And that's where God wants us to focus our attention. Jesus needs to be our aim and our goal. And it's to Him and His Word that we need to compare ourselves, whether as individuals or whether as the church that He promised to build. When we do that, we will find that we can be faithful to Him in our own circumstances and situation. And let's resolve to just do that. And not compare ourselves with other religious bodies which may or may not be part of Christ's body. The only thing that we need to do is worry about us and what we're doing and how we can improve in our relationship to Christ. Now, when people see us doing that, that's going to make a difference in their life. They're going to look at that and say, something has changed about him. Something has changed about her. I really want to know what that's about. And they're going to want to come, and they're going to want to study, and they're going to want to learn. And that's what we need to do. And that will help us more than anything else if we'll simply focus on Christ and doing His will. Well, I'm sure you can see that these questions and the answers are more than just a short little snippet, but rather they're an involved study. And it's wonderful to be getting these questions. And I want to encourage you to submit more questions back there and suggestions. And whatever your heart desires to put into that box, please go ahead and do it. And I will read it gladly. I do appreciate the feedback from everyone and the wonderful questions that have been submitted. We have some more. We don't have time to get to them tonight, but we'll talk about them next month. Well, this evening we want to offer the invitation of Jesus Christ, and that is to be simply part of the church of Christ, the body of Christ, to be a member of Christ's body. We put on Christ by being baptized into Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, but you're all one in Christ. And if you're in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Would you be part of that one body this very evening by becoming a Christian, giving your life to Christ tonight through hearing His Word, believing it, repenting of sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of sins? Perhaps as a Christian, you've realized tonight that you need to make some changes, and you would like to take this opportunity to ask for the prayers of the church. Well, that is certainly something that is available to you. We stand ready to help you and serve you. Whatever your need may be, you can come now while we stand and sing.